Welcome to How to Build a Tent, a show that's not about tent building, but how to make you successful. This show is part of the Cross Politic Network. If you would please go over to crosspolitic.com and become a member, there's some great benefits that you get. It also helps us support us, put out great content, add new shows. I'm really excited where we're going with Cross Politic. It's amazing to see how God's blessing us and all the opportunities we're given. So come be a part of it. Come help support what the Lord's doing and help further the kingdom of God. If you want to reach out to me with any feedback, questions, recommendations, this show today is based off of a feedback that I've gotten from previous shows that have already launched. Reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram at How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. Even if it's not about the show and you just have questions about your business, or I think someone reached out to me today and was talking to me about they're thinking about moving and they wanted to ask me some questions, I'm more than happy to respond to emails and talk on DM, on Twitter and Instagram. I'm pretty attentive. So please reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you guys. I love your feedback. Thank you so much for listening. The feedback that we've been getting has been super encouraging. It's really scary getting in front of a camera, but you guys with your feedback have been making it a great experience. So I really appreciate it. All right, so I want to jump in today. And by the end of the show, I'm going to prove from an economic standpoint that when a society rejects God, it becomes poorer. And I'm going to do that from an economic perspective. Now, the first topic I want to jump into is kind of an amendment to the first show about value. Chocolate Knox is a great fan of and supporter of the show. He gives me great tips and advice all the time. And one of the things after the first show, he wanted me to really talk about that he felt I left on the table was the importance of, as a Christian employee, to make sure that we are providing value before we even go ask for that raise. And when we were having that discussion, I thought back about a sermon that was given by a guy named Joey Baran, and it's probably been 15, 20 years. Man, it's been a long time. But he was in Titus 1:5, and I'm just gonna read that real quick. Is this is why I left you in Crete, Paul says, that you might put what remained in order. And Joey went off and started talking about how, as Christians, we are charged, no matter where we go, including business, to make things better. We are called. God has given us gifts. He has put us in the place we are at to make things better. So before we take that really helpful formula that I gave you guys, value equals benefit minus cost, and we go and we ask for that raise, we need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, are we providing value? Are we doing the best that we can in our job? Do we deserve that raise? And part of that conversation that came up is a lot of people think just because you've been at a company for a couple years, that you automatically deserve a raise. Now, let me tell you this. A company doesn't owe you any more than what they've already given you. You don't deserve a raise just because you've been there for a substantial amount of time. So you need to ask yourself, just from a business perspective, from an employee perspective, are you providing value? Are you creating greater value than when you first started working for that company? And if that's true, then make that argument and go get that raise. But first you have to ask yourself, are you adding value? So please take some time and just think about that. What are you doing? Are you like what Titus is doing, what Paul charged Titus to do? Are you looking for areas in your life where you can make things better? Let that be known by all Christians at every workplace, that everything we do, we're there to touch it and make it better. We're there to put the sign of God, the authority of God on it, that as Christians, we are here to take dominion of this place, and we're going to make it better like God intended it to be. So I would charge you with that. Think about that. And then also along those lines, think about what areas you can improve on. We all have areas that we can improve on. What are some areas that you haven't been doing your best in, and see how you could do better in that? Sometimes it might not even be your strong suit, and maybe you can work with some other employees, or you can delegate to somebody else and you can trade off and take other responsibilities that you're more passionate about, that you're more suited for, and figure out how to create value that way. So that's just another option. But always look for ways to improve. And on that, I want to transition now to the government. And this was another request that we had, that we wanted to talk about how governments can't create value like the private sector does. And I was thinking about this for a long time, of how do we keep this simple and the format of the show that's understandable, that's not boring, that people are going to understand. And I really think that it's the easiest way to do it is just to keep that same formula that we were talking about in that first show. That is value equals benefit minus the cost. Now, I want to divide two groups up just to kind of illustrate why governments can't create value like the private sector can. So on one side, we're going to have the government, and then on the other side, we're going to have an individual or a private organization like a business on the other side. And I want to focus on that for a second. So the value equals a benefit minus the cost. So for an individual or a private business that is looking to create value to sell or create a benefit to sell, they look at the equation similar but a little different. So the cost is like the raw materials, it's the computer software, anything they need to make the product or service that they're providing. Now the benefit is the outcome of that. So maybe it's a consulting service, maybe it's a university where it's you take a building and you take the projector and the computers and you create a class curriculum. Or it could be a lesson plan or something like that. Or maybe it's a car. So you're taking steel, you're taking the rubber for the tires and all those things, and you're creating a car. And you're creating a benefit from those costs. And that equals a value that people are willing to pay for. Now, in the private sector, there's competition there. It's you are trying as a business or an individual, a private organization, you're trying to create a better benefit from that cost than an individual could himself. I can't make a car. If I tried to make a car on my own, it would take me my whole life and it would never be as good as any car that Ford can make. So I'm willing to pay and provide something of value to Ford because they created a benefit that was greater than the cost of all the raw materials that they created. And that's how value is created. And so companies are competing with each other to take the same kinds of cost and actually even try to lower their costs and then create a greater benefit than other people are. And that's not just the product, but that's just the value you get. And that benefit can be created through marketing campaigns and other things besides just tangible products. But the idea is they're taking raw materials and investing in those and taking that, all those costs, and creating something that of benefit that they think the economy will value from. And that's how innovation happens. That's how iPhones are created. That's how computers are created. That's how Tesla comes about. Another story because they're backed by a government, but forget Tesla. That's how Ford and Chevy and how they compete against companies across the globe. So that's how the private sector works. And they still use that same formula, just a little different how they view it. And then this is opposed to the government. Now the government breaks up this formula into two pieces. They have the one piece where it is value equals benefit as one piece, and then they have the other part is the value equals the cost. And they take the responsibility of managing the equation, but they're not responsible for the equation. And this is how it works. So the one side of the equation that they broke apart is value equals benefit. And what this is the government giving entitlements, benefits to a group of people at the expense of the other group of the equation, the cost. The people that are the taxpayers providing the money. So it's basically redistribution. The government is taking taxpayer money from a group of people and providing it to another group of people. And this is where the problem happens because the government doesn't pay for anything. The government takes through taxes money from taxpayers and gives it to other people, redistribution of wealth. So the government has no incentive to innovate or to compete because they're not at risk of anything. Their goal is not to create better value like the private sector is, because they have a cost. And if they don't provide a value, they're going to go out of business. They're going to go bankrupt. They're going to lose their investment. All that money they put into the raw materials, if they don't create a big enough benefit for people to buy and create value from it, then they're going to go out of business. But not so with the government. The government will just tax you more. And so the government is not trying to create better value and improve the society and the economy. They're trying to stay in power. And they stay in power by creating more benefits. They create more benefits and they give more benefits away to a greater pool of people so that they get more people to vote for them to make a bigger government. And the bigger government, the more taxes that they have to pay or collect from taxpayers to give more benefits. And it's a cycle that is basically self-defeating. And that is one of the problems with societies is how can a society last for a long period of time? Because there's this trend for government to grow. And as government grows, it becomes poorer because it's taking money out of the private sector that is using that equation to create benefits and value. And they're taking it out of their hands and they're taking it and giving it to people that aren't creating value for the society. Now, the result of this is very interesting. And this is where I think I can get on board with taxation is theft. Because not only are you depriving the people of the money, the people's money, the taxpayer money, you're not only depriving them of the money they earned, but you're also depriving the people that are receiving the entitlements, the other people in the society that aren't paying the taxes. And what do I mean by that? Is when you create value and you multiply that over and over again, like what happens in the private sector, is costs just become cheaper and the costs become less and things become more affordable. The people that are poor today are living like kings compared to the middle class of 30 years ago because of innovation, because private industry individuals are competing to become more efficient and be more innovative and to come out with new inventions. And because of all that, even the poor, even the people that aren't directly buying those products benefit because the society as a whole gets richer. And what happens when government taxes people more and more and grows bigger and bigger, and they just start redistributing wealth, even the people that receive the benefits overall are worse off because they are not experiencing the society, the innovative society that the private sector brings. So not only is taxation theft from the people that are being taxed, but it's also theft from what the people could have experienced that are only receiving government benefits because their life is never going to get better. It's going to stay the same. So taxation is theft on multiple levels. And this, it goes back to the opportunity cost. And that opportunity cost is the idea that you could choose one option over the other. You choose A or B. You have to choose one, but not you can't choose both. So there's an opportunity cost to be made. Is do we want to have a smaller government and leave money in the hands of individuals that are going to compete and innovate and find ways to grow and get a bigger benefit out of the cost and to create value? Or are we going to take it from those people, those innovators, those entrepreneurs, those business leaders, and are we going to put it into the government to do whatever they do and to distribute it and try to grow the government even bigger by giving entitlements away? And that is the opportunity cost that we have. And like I said, as government grows, the society becomes poorer because of that on many levels, because of the opportunity cost, because it robs us of innovation, because the government's just inefficient as it is. And also, as the government gets bigger because God is rejected. We find in societies throughout time, as when they rejected God, people turned to government. So as people reject God, the government gets bigger. As the government gets bigger, it taxes more people to subsidize and to give entitlements to others so that the government can stay in power. And there is the cycle of how we see that as governments reject God, society gets poorer. Because as people reject God, governments get bigger. And as governments get bigger, they take more money out of innovators' hands and people that create wealth and generate benefits for society as a whole. and it causes a society to become stagnant and stop innovating and stop growing, and it becomes poor and it decays and it starts to break down. So pray for our society, because we are a God-rejecting society. Pray that God gives us revival and that he works in the hearts of our leaders to bring this nation to repentance. With that, have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.